Amen. Amen. Now, my sermon today, we've been doing a series on fantasy, fiction, and reality. I'm going to stray from that for today. And I'm going to go a different route just for today. And Friday was Veterans Day, was it not? Now, also Thursday was the Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah. Hoorah. But November 11th is Veterans Day. And what we're going to do here, and it's going to be connected to my sermon, is we're going to start out with the Armed Forces Medley. Thank you. Now, the song has each branch of the service's song in it. So what I'm asking to do is if you served in the Navy, Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, or Coast Guard, when your part of the song comes up, that you would stand where you are and remain there until your song is over and it goes to the next branch of service, just so we can see who our veterans are. So let's go ahead and start. If I could have all the veterans stand up one more from all the branches. One more time. Stand up, please. Please stand up. All the way in the back, too. No. All right. No, say keep standing. Keep standing. Claire, I see you stink down back there. Joe's usually been our only Coast Guard person, but we got two more. Wendy and Claire joined the Coast Guard section here in our church. Now, these veterans, I want to read this for you. Bring it up. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the organizer, who gave us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. Soldiers, and that includes all those who wear the uniform. It's for the veterans that have provided the freedom. And many people in our country don't understand that, but I think we do. And I want you to give one more round of applause to our vets. Thank you. All right, we're going to be talking today about the heart of a soldier. And get my stuff ready here. And I got 35 minutes before lunch. Well, someone is guarding the turkey back there because Joe tends to slip out. The heart of a soldier. Now, again, when I say soldier, I'm referring to all those who serve in uniform. How do you know when a soldier is a great soldier? It is when the situation is at its worst. When all hope is gone and there's no chance, maybe even for survival. You see the heart of a soldier come forth. During World War II and the Battle of the Bulge, Germany had been pushed back into her borders, and it looked like the war was going to be over with quite soon. What the Allies did not realize that Hitler had reorganized, and he had enough men and ammunition for one major assault against the Allies. And that happened right before Christmas. It's called the Battle of the Bulge, and Germany hit a section of the American lines that was weaker than the rest, and they broke through along a massive front. And the American forces, the Allied forces, had to retreat. At Bastogne, a little town, the 101st Airborne was there, and part of their creed is there is no retreat. They dug in and they held the town, but they were completely surrounded by German forces. Now, when the 101st was sent in there to hold the town against this German offensive, they were sent in without winter clothing. They were sent in with low ammunition and low amounts of food. And then they were completely surrounded. Because of the winter weather, the Air Force, the Air Corps at the time of the Army, could not drop supplies into them. They were completely surrounded with no hope and no hope of being relieved anytime soon. Two German officers approached under a white flag, came to the 101st Airborne and said, "Listen, we demand your surrender." So they were taken to the commanding officer. And the German officer told him, "Listen, you are completely surrounded. We will overwhelm you. We will destroy you completely if you do not surrender." Worst case scenario for the 101st Airborne. No hope. Demand surrender from the enemy. And in that moment, the commanding officer replied with just one word: "Nuts. Nuts." The Germans didn't even understand what he meant. But what he was saying is, "We will not surrender. We may die here, but we will die fighting." And In the worst of situation, you see the best of soldiers. And you saw the best of the 101st when they were in that. And they held. They were attacked, and they held. And they held until they were relieved by General Patton and the Third Army. They beat the Germans back. A couple years later, after World War II, the Korean War, the 1st Marine Division was pushing north into enemy territory when they were attacked and completely surrounded by several divisions of... Is everything okay? A spider? It's okay. I know one of those big vets will come over and kill it. All right. Korean War. Hey, ma'am, why don't you sit on another pew? That's okay. Korean War, 1953. No spiders. It was cold. Middle of winter, bitter temperatures in Korea. 1st Marine Division, again, was pushing north when they were hit, surrounded by several Chinese and North Korean divisions, totally cut off, no supplies, completely surrounded. When the commanding officers in the rear radioed the commanding officer of the 1st Marine Division and said, "Give us a situation report," this is what he said. "They are in front of us, behind us, and we are flanked on both sides by an enemy that outnumbers us 29-1. They can't get away from us now." Chesty puller. When you read the account of these Marines in Korea, the Marines kept fighting. They fought their way out. They were not captured. The heart of a soldier never quits. The heart of a soldier has love for country as a motivating factor, a complete focus on the mission the soldier has been given. And a soldier's heart is willing to sacrifice, even the ultimate sacrifice, if required, to fulfill the mission. We can learn a lot from our veterans, a lot from soldiers in past wars. Because, you see, as a Christian, we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, we're not a soldier as fighting with weapons and going out and hurting people. It's a spiritual war for souls between the light, truth of God, and the darkness of Satan. We are to be good soldiers in this fight. The heart of a soldier of Jesus Christ needs to be focused, just like a heart of a soldier in our armed forces is. We need to have a love for God's kingdom, his truth, his word, his reign. Two, we need to be focused on the gospel mission of sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with the world. And three, a good soldier of Jesus Christ must be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice. I want to give you two examples of good Christian soldiers, good soldiers of the Lord from Scripture before our lunch today. I want to go to the Old Testament first and look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 9, it says this. Now Nebuchadnezzar, before I start reading, Nebuchadnezzar had set up a gold image. He was the king of the known world at the time, most powerful man on the planet. And he had made a gold image, and he commanded everybody in the world, when they heard the music, to bow down and worship his image. Now, three men did not do that. And that's where we pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3, verse 9. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king," these are some bad guys that are ratting out our three heroes, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, that'll be good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Pretty scary. Facing the most powerful man in the world, and he says, "If you don't bow down, I'm going to kill you." Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Ooh. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, even if he doesn't save us, let it be known to you that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Whew. Those are soldiers. They're not going to back down. Let me give you the American translation of what they just said. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, nuts." I think the Jews say a little more elegantly. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Skipping down to verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Verse 28. They brought them out of the fiery furnace, which did not hurt them. Their clothes did not even smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. They were willing to sacrifice as good soldiers of the Lord." Now let me give you a New Testament example. With Peter and John. Now Jesus had died on the cross and been resurrected. And then he had ascended. And now it was time for the disciples to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So they started in Jerusalem sharing and preaching Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, the council, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had plotted to murder Christ now had a new enemy, Peter and John. In Acts 4, verse 1, Now as they, Peter and John, spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. That's a pretty good sermon. Now verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they brought John and Peter out of prison. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" A miracle that they had done, healing a man. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Go, Peter. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man whom had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a noble miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." Why deny it? Why not accept it? Believe in it. No, sin keeps people from believing in God. What? We cannot deny it, they said. Verse 17. But that, so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." You judge. Few weeks before, they had all forsaken Jesus and ran like cowards. Now they were bold. They were good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They were standing before men that could have them killed. They left this place and continued to preach in the name of Jesus. So much that they were rearrested. Verse 27 of that chapter. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked him, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. We are his soldiers to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." They weren't going to back down. They were not going to retreat. Retreat was not an option. So the council agreed to beat them up to teach them a lesson. Verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So the disciples departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see, they had failed and ran away as cowards. riots when Jesus was arrested. But now they had a second chance to stand up, to have honor and courage, to stand for their Lord. And they did, and they suffered greatly for it, but they rejoiced in that suffering. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And because they did that, we sit here today. We sit here today in a church dedicated to the gospel of Jesus Christ, all the way around the world from where this story took place. But because of this story and these men and the women that were with them, the small band of 120 that started the church, because they were good soldiers and they would not retreat, the gospel spread across the world. And today we are Christians because of these good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The world tries to get the soldier of Jesus Christ distracted. Cares of the world and pleasures and lusts and sin and all sorts of stuff try to get our mind off focusing for him, living for him, sharing the truth. But as good soldiers, we have to stay focused on the mission. The church is called to wake up, put on the armor of God, and make the good fight of faith. Look what it says in Romans chapter 13. Apostle Paul says, and do this, knowing the time, understanding the time you live in, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your armor. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand the time, soldier. Understand the war and the battle you are called to. This last week, more Christian voters came out to vote for Donald Trump than in any past election. For 8 years, not to be politically, for 8 years, though, our country has moved and sometimes sprinted away from God and his word, from our core values. Christians came out en masse to vote. Donald Trump is now in the Republican platform, which we went over a couple weeks ago, is now going to be in place. And do you think it's going to be a 180, 100, an 80-degree turnabout? Are we going to start headed towards God? I don't think so. It might be a slowing down of us as a country walking away from God. But it's not, this presidency is not going to be a 180-degree turn. Our hope is not in a president, in the Congress, or the Senate. And just because we've won, Christians say they've won a victory with electing Trump in and slowing the progressive liberal agenda down, don't believe the war is over. Because it's not. And now is the time not to take off our armor, to sit back and pat ourselves on the back and see if the president and the Congress and the Senate can turn this country around. No. The only thing that's going to turn this country around, save our people, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our government does not promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church promotes the gospel. And the church is you, the good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The war is still on. You cannot let down your guard. Put on the armor of light. And finally, 2 Timothy 6:12, or 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The only thing that matters in this life is eternal life. You came into this world with nothing, you'll leave with nothing in this world but your soul. Well, if that matters in this life, are you saved? Have you been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ? Lay hold on eternal life. Don't get sidetracked into the temporal things around us, the cares of this world. Focus on the high calling of Jesus Christ, to which you were also called and confessed in the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, not just ourselves, but these witnesses are those that we have talked about today. The good soldiers of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, who have waged the battle and carried the banner ever since the Old Testament day. They are still witnesses. We owe them everything. We are in a war, a battle for the souls of people. We are surrounded by a sinful world. There are sinners in front of us that are sinners behind us. There are sinners on both flanks. How can they get away from us? They're in darkness, we're in light. We won't let them escape because we're going to go out and we're going to take the gospel in love and we're going to share the truth. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ go after the lost. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must know the book of instruction. Just like when I became a commissioned officer in the Army, I had to know this book. The Army's Officer Guide, 51st edition. Everything in here about being a good soldier, being a good officer. It's the same with the good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a book of instruction you need to know. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to do good in the name of the Lord? You got to know the book. The book strengthens you. The book guides you. The book completes you. You got to be a good soldier. Just like my soldiers expected me to be a good officer, and I need to know how to be a good officer. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you got to know the book. The heart of a soldier, Jesus Christ. You got to love God's kingdom. You got to love God. You got to be focused on the gospel mission. And you got to be willing to sacrifice your life, your comfort, your time, your resources to be a good soldier. Do you have a heart of a soldier for Jesus Christ? God can give you that heart if you don't have it. Maybe you've never even known how to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's not hard. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. God is perfect. God is glorious. No sin. We've all done sin. We've all done bad things. We've all lied, stolen, cheated, dishonored our parents. And many of us are murderers in the heart because we've hated people. And God says, if you hate someone, you've murdered them. I would have to say during the election this week, half the country murdered the other half. That sin separates us from God. And because God is just and holy, perfect, he has to judge all sin. We have no hope. We've all sinned. There's nothing you can do to get rid of it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Jesus came and lived the perfect life. God in the flesh. Never sinned. He went to the cross and he became sin who knew no sin. God commanded his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The perfect Lamb of God. He died in our place, suffering the wrath of God on himself. Buried 3 days, raised, physically raised to prove that who he was, God in the flesh. And death and sin could not hold him down. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes in the Father but through me. Bible says, by grace you've been saved. Grace is getting something you do not deserve, God's love and forgiveness. Grace is not getting what you deserve and not getting what you do deserve. We get his love and his grace, his forgiveness. And we don't receive his judgment and wrath. For by grace through faith you have been saved. Faith in what Jesus did for you. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Understand you're a sinner. You need to turn your heart with your mind to understanding of what is the truth. That you're a sinner and God came for you to die for you. And your heart, you want to turn. You want to turn your life towards Christ. You want to walk away from your sinful ways. And you want to turn to Christ and ask for forgiveness through Jesus. And then follow him. It's a complete reversal of your life. It's a complete surrender to God. And then you can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And all those who are saved, born again, receive God's Holy Spirit that fills you and strengthens you. And then the word of God comes to life in you. And you're good soldiers. If you've never put your faith in Christ, you never had that moment in time where you repented before a holy God and put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you have to have that moment. It's not about attending church, and it's not about just believing it up here. It's got to affect the heart. It's got to change who you are. Jesus said you must be born again. If you are born again, are you a good soldier? Or have you taken off your armor? Many soldiers relax, let their guard down. As soon as you let your guard down, the enemy infiltrates through your perimeter and you're dead. Satan is waiting to infiltrate your life. You put on the full armor of God. You seek your Lord and Savior, King. And even when you're thrown into a fiery furnace, he'll be there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the commanding officer, the general that leads from the front. The church needs to awake. Even in this time of election victory, our task could never be greater. The need for the gospel could not be greater. We are tasked with that mission. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the great examples of the good soldiers that have filled your ranks of your army since Old Testament times. Lord, we thank you for their boldness and the courage they had because they stood for you. And you strengthened them. You protected them. Lord, today, all the way up to the present, we have good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, suffering and many dying around the world because they will not deny your name. The world may never see them. The world may never understand the bravery that they showed, the honor they showed. But Lord, you do. You saw it. You see it still. And for those who hold to the faith, even unto death, there is a crown of righteousness stored up for them. Lord, we as the church here in America, we've gotten comfortable. It's time for us to wake up and see and understand the war, the spiritual war that rages around us. We, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, put our armor back on. And we line up shoulder to shoulder with one another. And we stand together. And we send our people out on mission to take the gospel, to show love, to show you. Lord, help us to do that as a church. Lord, if there's someone in here who does not know you, help them to understand how desperately they need you to repent of their sins and put their faith in you, to be born again, to be saved. And Lord, for us that are saved, help us to wake up and realize how important it is that we remember all the witnesses of times past that have stood for you, that we join them and we live for you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our church. I thank you for your people. And Lord, I thank you for the hands that have been preparing the food back there. And now as we leave here, Lord, to go back and sit down and have sweet fellowship, we thank you for the food and we thank you for the people that have served it. We give all glory and credit to you because you are the only one that is good. And anything good we experience comes from you. Well, Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.